We're going to be looking at James chapter 3 this morning if you want to get your Bibles out. We are in the middle of our study of this good book in the New Testament. If you don't have a Bible and want to get a pew Bible out, just turn near the end of your New Testament and you're going to find the book of James there. Very short book, only five chapters. Believed to be maybe the first book of the New Testament that was actually penned, written by a half-brother of Jesus. And it is one of the most practical books that you are going to find in your New Testament. Meaning that when we come to the book of James, there are things that we can take and put into immediate use in our lives. The fact that we need to be not just hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. The fact that we don't need to be those who would show partiality, but that we would be those who would receive folks and treat one another, no matter what our skin color is, no matter what our economic status is, no matter what we might look like or dress like, we don't show partiality. The fact that we looked last week at the end of chapter 2 talks about the fact that faith without works is dead. Just because we may have a strong faith in God, if that's not exhibited in our lives, if that's not seen in our lives, if it's not coupled, if it's not working together with obedient works in our lives, then that faith is doing us no good. When you get to James chapter 3, perhaps this is a little bit harder section to practice, because these first 12 verses especially talk to us about our Christian responsibility with our tongue, with our speech, with the things that we say. And that's one of the hardest things that we have to conquer in the Christian life is our tongue. Look in James chapter 3 where he starts off in the first verse. And he says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers." Now, why would God say that? Didn't God say, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature"? Whose responsibility is that? Everybody's. Why would God say, "Brethren, let not many of you become teachers"? If we're all supposed to be going out and teaching the gospel. Say again. You are responsible for what you teach. Therefore, what does the end of the verse say? What should teachers be ever conscious of? That they are going to be subject to a what? A stricter judgment. Why is that? Why is a teacher going to be subject unto a stricter judgment? Okay? Because what they teach not only is going to impact their lives as the teacher, but when you open your mouth and you teach someone else what they need to do with their lives, now you are responsible for what you have taught. Is a teacher who teaches faithfully, is a teacher who teaches properly the Word of God, does he have anything to fear? Does he need to fear this stricter judgment if he's teaching faithfully the Word of God? What if he's not teaching it faithfully? What if someone is out teaching what people need to do with their lives, but they're not following the commands of God? And God's going to hold them accountable for those things that they teach. Teachers must be prepared. When James talks about teachers, he's not talking about somebody who stands up here behind a lectern or a podium, or somebody who sits in one of these classrooms down the hallway with our children. All of those would be included. But this is talking about anyone who would open their mouth and teach someone else the will of God. We have a responsibility as teachers to be prepared to teach. How does a teacher prepare himself or herself to teach? It's an obvious answer, isn't it? Those of you who teach in elementary or middle school or high school, how do you prepare yourselves to teach your class? Do you just wing it? I mean, do you walk into calculus and say, oh, you know, we'll figure this out together? Well, I hope not. I hope you go in prepared. I hope you go in such a way that you have studied, and that when you walk into those classrooms, you see the due importance of what you're teaching. When we teach the Word of God, we need to be prepared. We need to give due regard to the importance of the task that God has given to us, knowing that God is going to hold us accountable. And God uses this as a way to introduce to us the concept of how serious it is for us to get control of our tongues. When we think about controlling our tongues, we think about making sure we don't curse and making sure we don't lie and making sure we don't mock other people or insult other people and all of those things. And that's a part of what James 3 is talking about. But he starts it off just by the matter of teaching. By the matter of using our tongue, we are going to give an account to God. So we need to make sure that even in teaching, that the words that come forth from our tongue are those things that are acceptable in the eyes of God. If you have not memorized in your life Psalm 19 and verse 14, we need to do that, and we need to tie that in with James chapter 3, where Psalm 19 and verse 14, the plea unto God, the prayer unto God is, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Where do the words of my mouth come from? They come from the meditation of my heart. You will not say something. Words will not come out of your mouth that first do not come from your heart, usually. Unfortunately, that's not always the case when we're singing to God, is it? Sometimes words can come out of our mouth that didn't come from our heart first, and we're not thinking about it. But are you going to say things that you have not first put into your heart? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. That's what James 3 is talking about. How do we get the words of our tongue and our mouth acceptable to God? We've got to get our hearts, the meditations of our heart, acceptable. Bill? It's definitely these first several verses here talking about controlling our speech. You could have your margin next to James 3 filled up with verses from the book of Proverbs. If you went over and read the book of Proverbs and find all of those verses that talk about speech, you can make a column worth of verses. But let's look at what he says, and I realize that sometimes we look at James 3 and we say, I can't do that, that's impossible, I'm not able to, and so we for some reason dismiss it. And some people read James 3 and they think that James is dismissing controlling our speech. But obviously he's not. He says in verse 2, for we all stumble, present tense, we all keep on stumbling in many things. Is that true? Have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Do we all stumble? Do we all make mistakes? So that must be a license to make mistakes, right? So we all stumble, we all keep on stumbling, we all keep on making mistakes, so let's do it even better, right? I mean, if we're going to do it, let's do it upright. Is that what this is talking about? Is this a license to keep on doing it? No. We all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a complete, full, mature, perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. We all stumble in many things. We all continually keep on stumbling in many things. But you know the good part about it is that the grace of God keeps on forgiving us when we keep on stumbling. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing. We keep on stumbling, but if we keep on trying to get up and do right, He keeps on cleansing. But what about our tongue? If any man does not stumble, does not make mistakes with his words, that's a mature man. Is verse 2, is this James' sarcastic voice? Is this James, is he using his voice where he's just saying, you know, it's not possible to control your tongue? So, you know, if somebody controls his tongue, well, that's a perfect guy, you know, and nobody can compare to him. Is that the gist of what James is trying to get across? Here, James is setting out at the very beginning that we make mistakes. Is it possible that someone can control his tongue? Is that possible? Is it possible that someone can control the words that come out of his mouth? Here's a man, here's a woman who's able to not stumble in speech, in word. Does that take work? Does it take effort? Yes. Is it possible to be done? Yes. And so if that person does not stumble in word, he's mature. An immature person, is he going to stumble in words? Yes. But a mature person, the one who gives himself over to growing and maturing, will not stumble in words. And if he's able to control his mouth and not stumble in words, guess what? He'll be able to control every other aspect of his life. What does that say about the tongue? If I can control it, I can control every other aspect of my life. So what should be on the top of our list of learning how to control? He goes in and he uses three illustrations here to show us how if we can learn to bridle the tongue, that we can learn to bridle the whole body. Verse 3, indeed we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. And when we put a bit in their mouth, what are we able to do? Turn what? The whole body. Well, that's just what he said in verse 2. If someone learns to control his mouth and control his words, he's a perfect man. He's able to bridle what? The end of verse 2. The whole body. If I learn to control my tongue, I can learn to control my whole body. Three illustrations. One is the horse. We put a bit in a horse's mouth. How big is a bit? Compared to that horse, how big is the bit? Boy, that's small, isn't it? How much does a horse weigh? Linda, you're the expert. 1,200 pounds? 1,200 pounds. Whew, that's a big horse, right? How much does a bit weigh? Linda? Here's my pen. How much does a bit weigh? You take the bit and you put it in the horse's mouth. In his mouth? You know, that's like in the front of his body. You put a bit in the horse's mouth. Are you able to control his mouth? Are you able to control his head? Yeah. You put the bit in his mouth, you're able to control the whole body. How can you control the whole body with something this size? How can you control 1,200 pounds with this? It's pretty small, isn't it? If you gain control just this much, you can control the whole body. That's what God's saying to us. Perhaps some of us need to put a bit in our mouth, right? Maybe that would help. Probably if we put a bit in our mouth, we'd be able to control our tongue better, right? You wouldn't say as much if you had. Maybe that's what God is saying. You think that's what he's saying? Stick a bit in your mouth, then you won't be able to say as much. Well, probably not. But what does he say in chapter 1 and verse 19? Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak. That would help sometimes, wouldn't it? To control our tongue, we need to learn to be slow to speak. So here in verse 3 is illustration number 1 of something very small, a bit, controlling something very large, a 1,200-pound horse. The illustration's obvious that he says in verse 2, if you learn to control the small tongue, you can learn to control the whole body. Illustration number 2 is in verse 4. Look also at ships. Although they are what? Are they just large? So large. Although they are so large and driven by fierce, strong winds, they are turned. Same word you have up in verse 3. We turn the horse. Here in verse 4, the ships are turned by a what? A very small rudder. Here's a big horse, little bit. Here's a so large ship, and here's a very, very small rudder in comparison. Some rudders are larger than a horse. We don't think that's very small, but compared to the size of the ship, it's nothing. How can this ship that's being driven by the winds and pushed all over the place by the winds, how can it go against the winds? By a small rudder. Do we have winds that are pushing against us, trying to get us to use our tongues and our speech in ungodly ways? All the time. How can we push against those winds? How can we steer against those winds? It's very small. And that's the point. He says, wherever the pilot wishes, wherever the steering man wishes to go, he can go. Because all he does is he controls that rudder. Is it possible for you and I to control our speech? Is it possible for a pilot to control the rudder? Yeah. Is it possible for a jockey to control a horse? Is it possible for a jockey to control the bit in the horse's mouth? So, is God saying here in chapter 3, it's not possible for you to control your tongue? He's not saying that. He's giving us illustrations to show that it can be controlled, but it's going to take some effort. But if we can control it, we will be able to master the whole body. Now in verse 5 is our final illustration. Even so, the tongue, in comparison, is a little member. How big is your tongue compared to the rest? Don't show it to me, but how big is your tongue compared to the rest of your body? Pretty small. Even so, the tongue is a little member. But it's little, but it boasts great things, doesn't it? Your tongue is capable of great things. Is it capable of great good? Yeah. Is it capable of great harm? Yes. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, the book of Proverbs says. Great good. It boasts great things. And this is not simply saying that the tongue boasts. It does that. It's not simply saying that the tongue brags about itself. You know, it does that. But it's just saying that here's the tongue. It's very little, but it has great, tremendous power in our lives, but not just in our lives. It has power in the life of others. Here's the third illustration. See how great a forest. It's not a small forest. How great a forest a little fire kindles. How much does it take to start a forest fire? Just a spark. Little fire can kindle a great forest. You know, what's interesting about these three illustrations that God gives to us is that in the bit in the horse's mouth, and with the rudder, with the big ship, there's control. There's control over what is happening, a small thing controlling that which is larger. But it's interesting when he uses this third illustration that I think he's trying to show us another aspect of small controlling or affecting that which is large. Because while a small bit can control a big horse and a small rudder can control a great ship, how much control is there over a spark? And once that spark hits the ground, once that spark hits the forest and it starts to spread, how much control is there now? How much are you able to control that forest fire now? You can control the ship, you can control the horse, but once that fire starts, now you're losing control. You ever felt that way with your tongue? You ever felt that there were days where you had it under control, that everything was fine, you were mastering your tongue, and then have you felt those days like it was a spark coming out of your mouth and you couldn't stop it? Have you had those days where your tongue sparked something, sparked an argument, sparked a controversy, sparked something, you know, some kind of mistake? Maybe you said something in error, or maybe you even intentionally said a lie, and all of a sudden things just started to spread and to go and you couldn't stop it. You saw it like dominoes falling down, and you saw the effect like a ripple going around in a circle, and you thought, here we go. If we can control it, incredible good. But when we don't control it, incredible damage. Paul, do you have your hand up? I think the application can be made to the body of Christ, and that, you know, even not just in our single body, but sure, in the body of Christ, is it possible within the body of Christ that one tongue, that one person can do incredible good, but could also do right, especially going back to verse 1 where it's talking about teaching. Is it possible that one teacher, not controlling his tongue, not controlling what he teaches, could cause incredible damage to the body of Christ? Yeah. And when that happens, you know, when you teach false doctrine, when you teach something that's not true regarding the Bible, it's out of your mouth. It's into the ears and the hearts of one person, two people, three people who have heard it. What happens when those 1, 2, 3, you know, 80, 90 people turn around and then they repeat what they have heard? And when their hearers turn around and repeat what they have heard? How great a forest a little fire can kindle. Betsy, did you have your hand up? Yeah, we've got to be careful of those smoldering fires too, Joe. Yeah, this is not just perhaps a matter of the words that come from our mouth, but the words that come from our fingers too. And you know, sometimes when somebody gets behind a computer and gets in the privacy of their home or their office with their keyboard, they tend to be a little freer to say things, perhaps thinking they're protected by their anonymity or protected by their privacy. But you've got to be careful. We need to be careful about all the words that we convey. Look in verse 6. The tongue is a fire. It's a fire. A world of iniquity sums up all the evil that the tongue can convey when it's not properly used. When it's properly used, the tongue can be a great tool. But when it's improperly used, it's a fire, a world of iniquity. It is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. Here's our tongue, and it's so set among our body, physically, personally, individually, that it can defile our whole body. But go back to what Paul mentioned. That here's a teacher, here's one person who opens his mouth teaching the Word of God, and if it's not done properly and if it's not done faithfully, it can defile the whole body of Christ. It sets on fire all of life, the course of nature. What sets it on fire? It is set on fire by what? Where does this come from? Where does this fire, the uncontrolled fire of our tongue sometimes, what sets it on fire? The attitudes we have, the hearts we have, says that it's set on fire by hell. By hell. We need to do all that we can to make sure that Satan is not getting control of our tongue. Anel, do you have your hand up and then Don? Right. Right. Yeah. That's exactly right. The illustrations of the bit in the rudder, you know, the bit by itself can do nothing. The rudder by itself can do nothing. But it's the one who's controlling the rudder, what it's attached to. And therefore, that pilot controls the rudder, all the, you know, because the rudder's not going to do anything by itself. Our tongue, is it attached to something? Inel says it's attached to our heart. And we're able to control it. We determine which direction it goes. And we turn the whole body down and then pat. If you lose the picture, be sure to turn off the sound. So turn off your mouth, right? When you lose the focus of the picture, don't just sit there and that's good. Who was it, Pat? Who had their hand up back there? Yeah. Pat says as parents, we need to start this early with our kids, teaching them how to and how not to use their tongues. Because if you don't get it early, it's hard to get after a while. Mandy, do you want to? Yep. Satan from the very beginning used smooth words, used slithering speech to try to manipulate Adam and Eve to sin, to manipulate Jesus to sin. And we've got to be careful that we've got to be so careful in how we use our speech. Look in verse 7. Here's where some people get confused. Because here I think they think that God's excusing it somehow. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. What does that mean? Does that mean, oh, we can tame tigers, we can tame dogs, we can tame, birds, we can tame, these giant whales, killer sharks, or whatever these dolphins at SeaWorld, we can tame all, but we can't tame the tongue. So is this saying, you can tame all these things, but you can't tame your tongue, so don't worry about it, because you really can't tame it. Lonnie? That's the difference. There's two things I want us to see here. First one is what Lonnie just said. Look at what the first part of verse 8, what does it say? But no man can tame the tongue. As Lonnie said, Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. With God. Does this say that God cannot tame the tongue? No. But here I am as a man, and I'm trying to tame, and I'm not going to be able to tame it by myself. That's one thing I want us to see, is that by ourselves it's not going to happen. You put God in the equation, and that changes what verse 8 says. Tasha? Yeah. It takes vigilance, and that's the second part of what I wanted to talk about, is that here's these animals. How many of you have birds that are in your... Where's Mickey Afron? How many of you have birds in your house that you just let them out of the cage and you let them do whatever they want? All right, that's kind of scary, but that we've got birds that we're not afraid to let them out of their cages. How many of you have dogs that are safe if they're not on a leash? Anybody have a dog that's safe? Some of you are not paying attention this morning, because I know you do. How many of you have dogs that are safe if they're not locked up in a cage or on a leash? That they're safe if you just let them out? Gary is the only person who has a dog that... Y'all are lying, all right? How many of you have dogs that walk around your house? How many of you have dogs that it's okay to let them outside and they won't kill somebody? We tame these animals. Does that take work? Coming back to what Tasha said. Does that take work to tame them? Yeah. Is it possible to tame our tongue the same way we tame them? We might be able to tame them and control them to where they don't have to be on a leash all the time. They don't have to be in a cage all the time. But with our tongue, is it a good idea to not keep a guard around your tongue? Is it a good idea not to, to let your... the tongue's been doing well this week. We'll just kind of let it go, We'll let it out of the cage this week. It's been obedient this week. Or do you constantly have to keep a guard over it? Dirk, I think you had your hand up, and then I think Carol did. Yeah. What's going to happen to the ship if you don't control the rudder? It's in bad shape. Carol? You never know when you're going to lose control. You know, here's somebody, and I admire those people that have devoted their lives to taming tigers. I mean, that's not me. You know, is that you? Is that you? I think I'll get in a cage with a tiger and a whip and a chair, and I'll try to tame him. Yeah, I mean, something's not clicking up here. That's just my opinion, all right? Something's not firing on all cylinders. But they're able to tame these tigers. Some of them have them as pets. They tame them to the point where they are able, not sure why they would want to, but they're able, and then the person is willing to even put their head inside the tiger's mouth. You know, you open up the tiger's mouth, and look, I can put my head inside the mouth, and he's tame. That's incredible they can tame him to that point, right? That's what Roy thought. But how many times had he done that? How many times had he put his head in the tiger's mouth? How many? I mean, hundreds, right? He had tamed him to the point that that was just something they always did, and they were comfortable with it until something snapped. There's never a point where we reach where we think we can let our tongue off the leash and out of the cage, because at some point, something's going to snap if we're not careful. Betsy? Right. You may condition it, learn to control it. Right. You can never be off guard. Let's finish this section. I know there's a lot of comments that want to be made. I want to at least finish this section. Think about this concept in verse 9. With it, our tongue. With our tongue, we bless our God and Father. And with it, we curse men who are made in the image of God. Is that true? Does that make sense? The very same thing that we use in just a few minutes to sing, "We praise thee, O God," is the same thing that we use to say to somebody, "You're the dumbest person on the face of the earth. How did God ever create, you know, a piece of dirt like you," or whatever? How is it possible? Verse 10, out of the same mouth, the same opening, proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. It's absurd to think that that which God made to be used for holy purposes can be used for some of the most vile uses that we can know. How many movies, how many television shows do you watch that have profanity and language as a part of them? Way too many. How many of us have allowed ourselves to be conditioned in such a way that we don't even hear it anymore? That we can watch those movies, we can watch those TV shows, and those words and those phrases, they don't even hit us anymore. We don't even hear them. I think all of us, to a point, have allowed that to happen. I recommended a movie a few years ago to somebody. I said, I don't think there was any cursing in it at all. Watched it a couple years later. There were two words. I totally missed them. Because we have conditioned ourselves for it to just be normal. My brethren, coming out of the same opening, this ought not to be so. God created us to use it for blessing. How inconsistent is it of us to turn around and use it for cursing? And verse 11 says, how contrary to nature is it? Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? What's the answer to that question? No. Obviously not. You're not going to get fresh water and bitter water from the same spring. Well, why is it then that from this same spring we can get fresh water and bitter water? It's against nature for blessing and cursing to come out of the same opening. Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Obviously not. Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. May God help us to learn to control our tongues. It is possible to be done. But it takes effort. It takes work. And we need to have the heart of Solomon that says, God, set a guard over my mouth. We need that guard, constant guard, because we're responsible. Last thing I want us to say, Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. What does Jesus say? Every idle word that men may speak, what's going to happen? He's going to give account of it on the day of judgment. Which ones? Every one of them. May God help us to let Him help us to control our speech and our tongues. Thanks for your participation this morning.